Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media, aired on our Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ted and Amy. After having to take last year off, Vera House is extremely grateful that they can bring their 30th annual New Beginnings Gala back in person this year with a virtual choice as well. Co-executive directors Randy Bregman and Angela Douglas say it's been a busy year.
I think locally we have been completely overwhelmed as of late and throughout most of the pandemic. We are really working hard to bring back our volunteer base. For many years, Vera House had around 100 active volunteers that helped us to provide support to sexual assault victims at the hospital day and night. They helped us answer our support line. They helped people with petitions for orders of protection in family court. And we now have added the chat line to the services volunteers help with. But the pandemic, for safety reasons, resulted in our greatly reducing our volunteer base. So we are really working hard to bring that back. And we are also facing what many others in the nonprofit and for-profit world are facing, which is a lot of staff turnover and difficulty in filling positions as quickly as we would like. So what we have found is that the need in the community is incredibly high for these services. As you mentioned, Amy, there's been a lot of attention nationally and at the state level to issues of domestic and sexual violence. People are calling and wanting support, and their needs are much more intense at times than they have been in the past, and we are struggling to keep up with it. So that is where we are this fall, and we anxiously hope to build our volunteer base and also be able to strengthen our staff for the long haul. And we appreciate the community's support to date, and we will continue to rely on them going forward.
Right. I mean, you know, I think you're right. Every nonprofit that I talked to that got through the pandemic, the services were more needed than ever. And I mean, I would think, especially when it comes to Vera House, because unfortunately, your house is not always the safest place for people who are victims of domestic violence. And during the shutdown, Randy, right, there was really nowhere else to go.
Right. We found during the shutdown, people were curled up in closets, calling us when they had a moment away from the person who was hurting them. Their options were so limited by the proclamation safe at home wasn't true for the people we serve. And so people were trapped with people who caused them harm and figuring out how to get them access to services. That's why we added the chat line in the spring of 2020 when we realized the impact the pandemic was having. We wanted to have a way for people to contact us without having to voice over a phone. So we now offer that chat service from 8:30 in the morning till 9 p.m. 7 days a week so that people can continue to have a different access point. If there's someone who can't safely use a phone, or if they're in that generation that doesn't typically use phones. But yes, the demand has been quite high, and our resources to respond to it have really struggled to meet the need.
Angela, I know the last time we spoke too, you said that it was something that Vera House really stresses is that you really need to have a plan, that sometimes just leaving in the middle of the night out of a situation is not the best choice. And that so you really have to really have your ducks in a row before you make a major decision.
Yeah, I think that's true for most of the time. I think there, when you have an opportunity to leave and you think it's the best time, you should definitely go. But one of the things that we know is that it oftentimes requires a thoughtful process that you can't always know how to do that. What should I be thinking about? How should I be leaving in a way that is most safe for me and or my children and family members, depending on who is living with me and really dependent upon that person. And so that's one of the greatest, I think, resources of Vera House, is that our call takers, our web chat recipients, and our staff are really mindful and thoughtful of if and when someone is ready to leave, that we're able to support them in thinking that through and making sure that they are confident as much as you can be in that situation to be able to leave.
I know also part of the conversation that we had, you know, Gabby Petito's case was just at the forefront, and how there was obviously so much grief, but also feeling as though family and friends should have done more. And so I don't know which one of you ladies wants to take this, but, you know, how do you, if you think something is going on, how do you handle that situation?
Well, I would just say that I think we have to give a little grace to the friends and family members of people who are being harmed. I do think it's important to let an individual you think is hurting, is not safe with their partner, let them know what you're concerned about and tell them you're there for them. But they're often not going to be ready to make a change on the same timeline that you might be. So there's only so much I think that friends and family can do. The most important thing is to let the person who's being hurt know you love and care about them and you'll be there for them. Let them know about resources in the community and options that they have, and stay present for them. But I think it's really hard for friends and family members who often want to be able to go grab the person and take them away and bring them to Vera House. It's complicated. Many times people in an abusive relationship really want the relationship to continue. They just want the abuse to end. And it takes a while for them to realize that they may not be able to have that as an option, that they may have to choose between the relationship and the abuse. And so I think often friends and family members have to bear with people for the long haul as they find their way through relationships. We wish it was easy and people could just flip a switch, but our experience over the years has taught us that it's often much more complicated for the individuals involved.
We also recognize how difficult it is for family members to witness, be somewhat of the impact of or suffer at also because of the results of the domestic violence, whether it's isolation or whether it is not hearing from them as much. And so that is the reason why our support line and our web chat is available, that even family members who are affected deeply by their loved one not being treated well, but also still desiring to be in a relationship that they hope would actually get better. They want it to be different than it is, but it just isn't there yet. And so I always would encourage them to call and get the support they need also from our organization on just being able to acknowledge and recognize the pain that comes with that, and also the sense of oftentimes helplessness of I can't really fix that for them as much as I would like to.
Right. Hey, Randy, I think also it's extremely important because I didn't know a lot about the Division of Elder Abuse that Vera House handles and had the opportunity to do an interview on that. But I mean, that's a whole other form of abuse that I think maybe sometimes isn't thought about when they think about your nonprofit.
Absolutely. Thank you for highlighting that, Amy. I think elder abuse has been the fastest growing service division of Vera House over the last several years. I think that speaks to, in part, the aging population, and also increased recognition of the need for elders to be responded to and have resources available to them. Elder abuse is, I think, several years behind domestic violence and sexual assault in terms of recognition and service delivery. So we're proud of the team here that does a lot of work, both in prevention and trying to address isolation and other things that contribute to abuse, and also address some of the myths. I think when people first think about elder abuse, they're thinking about somebody sitting in a nursing home, a stranger taking advantage of them. And what we know, like in much of the other work we do, people are most at risk for the people closest to them, family members, close friends, caretakers who end up causing harm to them financially, emotionally, physically. And so we think it's really important that the community continues to learn and better our response around these issues.
Well, let's move on to your New Beginnings Gala, which I believe, Angela, I told you this last time. I mean, I love the title of it. I love the name of it because that's what it's all about, is that, you know, there's hope that you can start again if you're in a relationship that you should not be in or that is not good for you. 30th annual, I know that you couldn't do it last year.
It's a very exciting time of year. And for us, our signature fundraising event. And just as you said, Amy, the new beginnings, this ability to reclaim a life that we feel like has been taken from us. And Vera House and all of its supporters and donors have been so gracious over the years that it really provides some of the support we need in order to meet that need of finding healing and wholeness in a way that every victim survivor deserves. And so we are excited that December 4th from 6 to 11 p.m., we will actually do an in-person gala at the On Center, and it will be hopefully around 350 people. So we're hoping everyone will come and get their tickets to attend. We will be socially distanced. We will be mask wearing. It's very important for us that everyone remains safe. And at the same time, we'll be having an online or virtual gala as well for those who do not want to be in person, not comfortable with that yet. And if you decide to do the virtual gala, then you'll get to do a little salsa dancing with myself and the treasurer of our board, our vice president of our foundation board, and our finance director and our PREA advocate. So we're excited to have people, whether joining us virtually or in person, on December 4th.
We're really excited to be able to offer both options so that somebody who's ready to go out safely and follow all the recommended protocols can be in community with one another, can celebrate with us. But for those folks who feel safer at home, they've still got young ones, they haven't been able to vaccinate, they can participate in their own way. It's absolutely free to sign up for the virtual gala. We welcome donations, and the auction will be available online so people can participate that way as well.
And obviously, this money is just so important because it is one of your major fundraisers and just keeps all of these services that we just talked about, keeps them going all year.
Absolutely. The gala is typically our largest fundraiser of the year and is absolutely essential for us because it provides some of those unrestricted dollars to fill in the gaps and make sure that we can continue to do the best job we can to serve those who come to us.
Buy your tickets by November 19th for the December 4th gala at verahouse.org. Well, beginning November 1st, New York State law requires anyone on the water in any kind of vessel has to be wearing a life jacket. Dave White is with the New York Sea Grant, and he talks about Central New York waterways this time of year, as well as thinking ahead to next year's boating season.
It's been another fabulous summer, and, you know, up until middle of this month, really, summer has continued. You know, and a lot of folks have really grown, you know, and as I always say, summer doesn't really stop when it comes to boating until, you know, maybe Columbus Day and beyond, because we have such great fall weather and such great fall beauty. Again, when we talk Central New York waterways, if you're on a boat, and that could be anything from a kayak and on up through, you know, going through the canal, Oneida Lake, Onondaga Lake, Finger Lakes, and pick your body of water, the colors are just fabulous to go along. And I just think as we boat along any one of our waterways this time of year, the stress leaves us and our relaxation just takes over, if no other reason than the beautiful colors that we have that, you know, really no place else has like Central New York.
Well, as we head into the month of November, though, there are some things to remember.
November 1st starts what we call the wear it months, and starting November 1st, everybody on board a boat, regardless of the kind of boat that you're on, has to have a life jacket on. It no longer is just I have to have it available or 12 and under. Everybody has to wear it because, you know, it can be a beautiful day, but that water is starting to get cold. Hypothermia can set in. So it is required that everybody have a life jacket on, securely fastened, just to give everybody the protection. You know, and as you've heard me say, you know, we want to make sure we have that survivability until you're rescued. So having that life jacket on now becomes law. But also even some of the other things that, you know, we don't really do as much in the summer, like, you know, a float plan. A lot of folks go out hunting and fishing in the fall. Definitely make sure you're telling somebody when you're going, where you're going, when you plan to come back. So those things that sometimes in the summer when there's a lot of boaters out, we may not do as frequently as we should, they really become important as we go into the fall, you know, hunting season, on water season, you know, boating season for folks that are out there in the water, because a lot of times they're alone. So special precautions got to be taken.
And probably now is a little too late to start looking for where you're going to store your boat. I mean, whether it be on your property or elsewhere, that's really something that should be, you know, looked at as it's still warm.
You know, it should, but, you know, all of our great friends at the Boating Industry Association of Upstate New York and all of our independent dealers, they're going to help you out. You know, there is space available. If you're going to store it on your own property, you know, pop down to one of your local marine dealers and just make sure you're going to do it well to make sure you're not going to get mildew over the winter and the kind of cover that you're putting on. So, you know, they're all, you know, available, you know, want to help you out, be happy to help you store it on their property. And, you know, we've got two or three locations now that you can store your boat inside over the winter and not even have to have it winterized. So, you know, the Central New York boating market has just become such a popular market area. You know, we've got a lot of very cool things, and, you know, storage is critically important, but making sure you're storing it well. So, you know, check with your local marine dealer to either put it on their property or to make sure you're going to do it, you know, a good way if you're storing your trailer boat.
Well, and speaking of boats, David, when is there a good time to start thinking about buying a boat, or at least, you know, thinking about spring when you're going to buy a boat, or is now a good time?
Last year would have been a good time to think about buying a boat. Next spring, you know, we kid, we laugh, but the boating industry is, you know, the same as every industry right now, the supply chain issue, the basic components. So, you know, if you're thinking of spring to get a boat, you know, now is the time to go out and start talking to your dealers, looking what they have online, but letting them know what you're looking for, because, you know, the used boat market becomes extremely active over the winter of people looking to go into other hobbies. I'm going to retire. I want to downsize. So, you know, the winter used boat market, because a lot of folks are looking at now to put their boats on the market because they don't want to store them themselves over the winter. So if you're looking at a used boat, now is a great time. New boat, you definitely want to start thinking about it. And the first thing you have to do is, as a family, always think about, what do we want to use the boat for? Don't start with, oh, I want this kind of boat. Start with, what do you want to use it for? And then think about matching the boat type, size, engine to what you and your family want to do collectively, because that becomes really important in picking out that next boat.
And also, I feel like we should mention, especially if you buy something used, you know, check out and make sure the trailer's in really good shape. We've had some just tragic accidents around here of trailers where tires came off and things. And so it's not just if you're buying a boat, chances are the trailer is also included.
Absolutely, and that is such a good point, Amy, and thank you for raising it. That a lot of times people do, they get so excited about the boat, they don't look at it. And if you are going to be trailering it, you know, back and forth, I mean, if you know, if you're putting it at the marina, not as big a deal. But if you're going to be trailering it, you really need to. The trailer is, you know, going back and forth to the launch ramp, to the family cottage, whatever it may be, is extremely dangerous if not done correctly. And you know, you definitely want to have that checked. You have to have it inspected as well. It's like any other trailer that you have to have it inspected. And those are critically important, like you say, to make sure the tires, the larger the boat, sometimes you're actually going to have electronic brakes on it. They need to be checked. Make sure the attachment to your car is good. You know, a lot of folks will go, oh, I'm just going a couple miles down to the launch ramp. I'll just pop it on the trailer. You know, that couple of miles can even be dangerous for not only, you know, the person trailering the boat, but people that are around you if it comes loose. So that is just a fabulous point for somebody to think about when they're buying it, to make sure they're having it all checked out as well as the boat.
And speaking of dangers, I mean, I'm kind of like rambling around, but, you know, time also, if you are going to be out on your boat and using a propane tank or anything like that on the boat, it's just as important to just make sure you take all the safety precautions.
Yeah, as I say, when we hit this time of year, safety precautions are even more critically important. You know, and going to any one of our good partners, Boat US, Discover Boating, New York State Parks, they all have great checklists of, you know, before you go out on your boat today, just check these things. They become really important this time of year, again, because you might be out boating alone, but also there's just not a lot of other boaters out on the water. So if you get in trouble, you're going to be out there alone many times. And, you know, sometimes cell phones will or won't work, or if you fell overboard, your cell phone doesn't work. All of those things become so much more critically important. You know, the spring and the fall can be some of the most dangerous times boating because of weather, but also because of lack of other folks out on the body of water. So, you know, you can even get a decal you can put right on the dashboard of your boat that, you know, okay, before you go, here's what you need to know. You know, and five or six things that are just the top priority that you want to make sure you're you're thinking of that, again, you know, summertime, a lot of us, we check the book beginning of the season and we don't really think about it, but boy, those things become critically important, making sure you have your flares and your flags and you can communicate with folks both, you know, visually and electronically. That stuff becomes so important right now because you're right. Every year we hear about, you know, the deaths, somebody falling overboard, somebody got hypothermia, they didn't have a life jacket on, and it really concerns me because of the growth of paddle sports, because that's where we really start to see it, because it's so easy to throw the kayak in on a gorgeous 45-degree day and forgetting that the water is really cold.
And I guess, you know, as we're slowing down, maybe now is the time, or at least look towards the winter, to take a boating safety course.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of our friends in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Power Squadron, volunteer instructors for New York State, our good friends in blue, you know, sheriff and state police, they're all going to be starting to think about teaching their classes. You know, and now is the time you can go online and start to think about that as a family, you know, maybe the first part of the year. Or, you know, if the family's going to, you know, be getting maybe some personal watercraft or boat, or, maybe there's going to be something special under the Christmas tree, a great time to be thinking about signing up for those classes. You can do them online. I mean, we have all had to go to that, you know, with the pandemic, but more and more folks are now doing in-person, and it, you know, as you and I have chatted before, an in-person class is so important because they're going to bring the equipment in, they're going to show you what it looks like, they're going to show you how it works. So those in-person classes are just wonderful to take advantage of. So definitely be thinking about that, and definitely, you know, through the winter, that's a great time to take them, and it's just a great thing to do as a family as well. I just, you know, want to reiterate, you know, as you and I have talked, this can become a very dangerous time of the year for boating, and we don't want to see that happen. So just take the special precautions. Make sure you've got your life jacket on, and make sure you have some way of communicating with folks, because, you know, it can get kind of lonely out there on the water if you're in that water for any extended period of time. So, you know, have a great boating season. It's not over with yet. You know, it's great to see it continue, and for all those people that decide on January 1st to go out and boating, please be safe.
See more at nycgrant.org. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss, or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, you can email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thank you for joining us each week here on Street Talk.